Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 50 of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 27. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, etc. And I'll stop reading there. Now, we were looking at verse 27 last time. We saw the word error is the same word as delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, where God will send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie. And that also has to do with the time of the end in that passage. That's when Satan takes his seat as the man of sin, and that only happened during the Great Tribulation. So the strong delusion or strong error, working error that God sends, it has to do with those that are under his wrath. And his wrath began with the corporate church as judgment began at the house of God. And he sent them strong delusion to believe doctrinal lies. And that's why there's so many, hundreds of millions of people that are charismatic Christians. Of course, that's a contradiction in terms. You can't be a Christian, a true Christian, and believe other kinds of gospels. And the charismatic churches are teaching other kinds of gospels. They're in violation of Revelation 22:18, and yet they're widely accepted in Christendom, in amongst the other churches, even some Reformed churches, as brothers. This is part of the strong delusion that God has sent to the congregations. They believe the lie is total truth, and when they hear the truth, they think that is the lie. And they think that those who bring the truth are heretics. At least that was the case when they heard about the end of the church age in May 21, 2011. They rejected it and denied those things, though they came from the Word of God, the Bible. Well, here God gets into that very point. They rejected the truth. And hopefully we'll have time to look at a couple of words in verse 28 here that will get into that whole matter of those who reject the truth of God and God's rejection of them. And so let me read it again. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And by the way, the word convenient is another Greek word only found a couple of times. Once here and once in Acts 22, verse 22. Where it's translated as fit. Now in Acts 22:22, it has to do with the Apostle Paul and the Jews crying out, such a one, it's not fit he should live. So I'm not sure how to take that here. To do those things which are not convenient or not fit. They're not according to life, perhaps. I'm not sure exactly how that's to be understood. But let's look at some other words. For example, the word reprobate. And that's something we're familiar with. We hear from time to time. A number of theologians have picked up that word. And it's a word that we're familiar with, but we maybe don't fully understand the way God's using it. Reprobate is a word that's translated 6 times as reprobate, and it's translated 2 other times as different words. So let's take a look. One place where it really stands out is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13, and it's used 3 times here. I'll start reading in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So 3 times in those 3 verses. And it's also translated as castaway in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul, the apostle, writing under inspiration of God, is speaking of running the Christian race. And so we read in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the same word. So Paul's saying, if I don't keep my body under and bring it into subjection, and if he was unable to do that, that means his body is having dominion. The lusts, it's really referring to the sinful desires that the body goes after. They're not in submission. They're not brought under the power of Christ and the Spirit, but they are above and ruling, having dominion. And therefore, there's every indication that one is not saved. And that's what Paul is saying. If this were the case with me, if he were not able to bring his body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a reprobate, a reprobate. And so that is someone that is not saved. We can definitely understand that from what we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and in this verse, to be a castaway. Interesting way the translators translated this word, and they also translate it one additional way in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's get a little bit of the context from verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And our word is the word rejected. By the way, this Strong's number 96, that's translated as reprobate, castaway, and rejected. that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, is nigh unto cursing, because those are the things that came on the creation as a result of the curse. They're rejected, and that's probably a good way of looking at this word that's translated as reprobate, because it's a compound Greek word. It's the word dokimos with an alpha prefix attached. So it's a dokimos. A dokimos, the alpha prefix negates what dokimos means. And dokimos is Strong's number 1384, and it means to be approved or to be commended. Let's now look at dokimos. If we start with 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So the word approved, not he that commendeth himself, that is, not the man or woman who accepts Christ and says, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. They're commending themselves. They've done everything themselves. They've done the work of believing. And now they're going further by giving themselves assurance. And God says, no, hold on, not so fast. Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That is, salvation is of the Lord. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And it doesn't matter what men say. A man may say he has faith, but as we read in James 2, that faith without works is dead. A profession of faith must be supported by the work and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ performed on that person's account at the foundation of the world. Without it, they're not commended by God. They are not approved. And so the word approved here has everything to do with being accepted by God as far as his salvation program is concerned. And over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we read, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here, you know, it now makes much better sense, doesn't it? How God has utilized Bible study and involved it with his salvation process. And he's speaking to the reader of the Bible, the Christian, study to show thyself approved unto God. So we're not just studying the Bible as some sort of, you know, recreational activity where we're coming to the Bible and you know, it's interesting and it amuses us and we enjoy passing the time like some people watch TV or read any other kind of a book. No, this is a very serious matter. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And that is that we might be commended by God and be found approved by him as we come to the Bible. And if that were the case, we would not be ashamed. Our sins would be covered. And it's our sins that are a shameful thing, that need a covering, and so forth. Well, there's also another way this word has been translated in James chapter 1. James 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now here, it's the word tried. The English word tried is a translation of dokimos. And so again, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, that means he is approved. And that gives us insight into what it means to be approved. You know, when we read 2 Corinthians 13, and we saw, examine yourselves, that ye be in the faith. Verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, and that would be in Christ, as Christ is faith. Prove your own selves. That the word prove has everything to do with trying, or a trial of faith. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved. And that is the word, that's dokimos, that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So dokimos, to be approved, to be commended of God, has everything to do with going through the trying process, the fire that God puts to those that are his workmanship, to see what work they're made of, wood, hay, stubble, or silver, gold, precious stones. And when one is tried, that is, the temptation has completed, the process is over and done with, he has successfully made it through, and he's approved, thereby being commended of God. And that fits in with God's salvation program. Now, the dokimos means not approved, and we saw probably the best translation of that was in Hebrews regarding thorns and briars, which are rejected. And that's what to be reprobate means, is to be rejected of God. And back here in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that is, a rejected mind, to do those things which are not convenient or fit. There's something else here in verse 28 that we can't see too well in the English because of the way the King James translators translated the word, and it's the word like. The Greek word translated as like is Strong's number 1381, and it's a related word to dokimos, 1384. 1381, if you go to the concordance, you'll see the relationship with 1384, and 1384 again is the word approved, and just as approved is translated as tried, as we saw in James, so is this word translated as like, Strong's number 1381, translated as approved and tried. And so it's a very similar word, and that would change the meaning of the verse, or it would help our understanding of it. Let's go back and read it again, and I'm going to substitute a word where instead of this way, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, or even as they approve not, because it has the negative here, the word not, so it's like reprobate. It's a different form, but very similar to the word reprobate, which is a compound word, the negative alpha prefix attached to dokimos. Even as they approve not, or we could say, even as they rejected to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or rejected mind to do those things which are not fit or convenient. And we can see the relationship now. It's man who rejected God in their mind. They don't want God in their thoughts. They don't want to follow the word of God, the Bible. They don't want to think of God as creator. They want no God. They want no God. They have rejected. They have not approved of God in their knowledge. Therefore, the judgment of God is God gave them over. And remember, that's the same as God gave them up in the earlier verses. And it's translated as delivered. And it has the idea of being officially delivered up to the judgment. And look at the judgment. God gave them over, or God gave them up to a reprobate mind, a rejected mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Then the list of sins, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And all of these things are the judgment of God. They are part of the wrath of God that he is pouring out on the wicked of the earth, because he's delivered them up to do them, to do these things. He's given them a mind to do these things. Now, again, we have to understand that the way God has given them to mind is not to cause man to sin, but simply to allow man to do what comes natural to his fallen condition. And so these are the things that result. If God doesn't hold back sin, these sins come forth, gushing forth, all manner of iniquity and filthiness flowing out of the heart of man and into the world through his thoughts and words and deeds. And it is all the wrath of God upon mankind. And, you know, we've mentioned this before. We've talked about this before, that in the Old Testament with Cain, when Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel, that, and I'll go back there. It's in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, we read that it was said after God pronounced the curse. I'll start reading in verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto Jehovah, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." Cain cries out, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And the word punishment is sin. It is the punishment of God, and it is his sin. Sin is being used by God to punish the sinner. And the world has always elevated sin, lifted up sin, worshiped sin, had pleasure in sin, and wanted sin above all, above especially God himself. We want our sin. We don't want you, God. We want the darkness. We want the dungeon of of being in bondage to sin and to Satan. We prefer being wrapped about with the cords of our own iniquity. We prefer that to your law, to your light, to your goodness and mercy. Keep it all. We don't want you in our thoughts. We don't want you in our knowledge. And that's why we don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our world. Go from us. Go from us. And God at the end says, very well. You desire sin. You want sin. You think sin is the answer. You think sin will be your God and care for you and protect you. You think sin is the great thing. Have your sin. Here is your sin. Let's see what you do with your sin if you will think it's so great after having your fill day after day after day, hour after hour throughout the day. And when you see sin spill out onto your streets, when you see the true heart of man revealed on the streets of the world in every town, village, city, state, and country, then we'll see what your true attitude towards sin is. And could it be that man will cry as Cain cried out, my punishment, my sin is greater than I can bear.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.